Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Do you know a student getting ready to go to college? Or are you looking at going back to school yourself? The Woodward Hines Education Foundation and the Get to College program help more Mississippians get to and through college to get certificates and degrees that lead to meaningful employment. They offer free college planning advice, including hands-on FAFSA completion assistance through in-person or virtual appointments. Visit gettocollege.org to learn more.
Good morning. It's 8:30 on Monday, April 8th. I'm Desiree Frazier. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. On today's show, federal prosecutors are helping to crack down on gang violence in Jackson. Then, the war between Israel and Hamas leads to thousands of casualties among civilians. Mississippi's 2nd District Congressman says it risks the longstanding relationship between the U.S. and Israel. Plus, doctors say you need to wear protective glasses when looking at the solar eclipse today, even if it's cloudy. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. The federal government is taking note of Jackson's high crime rate. Resources are being sent to help reduce gang and gun violence. Jackson is one of three cities nationwide where the Violent Crime Initiative with the Justice Department is being expanded. Mississippi's capital city leads the nation in rates of gun violence. The additional federal resources will help investigate violent crimes committed with firearms. Our Mike McEwen speaks with U.S. Attorney Todd G. with Mississippi Southern District about the program and what it could mean for the capital city.
I mean, the Department of Justice works best when we have strong partnerships with state, local, and federal agencies to fight violent crime or any type of crime. And so this initiative is about bringing additional resources to help work with the prosecutors in my office and state and local and federal law enforcement and prosecutors to go after those violent individuals and violent gangs that are the drivers of crime here in Jackson. So it really will be part of a partnership effort to do that. And we've experienced that kind of partnership already, you know, on a regular basis, spending a lot of time with local and state and federal law enforcement agencies here in the Jackson area, really trying to identify those individuals and gangs that are the drivers of violent crime here and go after them. And this initiative will give us additional resources to do that. It'll in particular help my office in building larger cases, especially gang cases that go after those groups driving crime here in Jackson.
In what way would it go after them? Are they involved in, you know, racketeering and other monetary schemes? Is just wanton violence? And what are you targeting with those gangs?
Jackson, unfortunately, does have a violent crime problem that is driven by a limited number of violent individuals and violent street gangs, along with some influence from national gangs like the Vice Lords and Gangster Disciples. So this initiative will work to go after those individuals and gangs by, for example, building larger cases, like larger RICO cases, where we can take large numbers of individuals off the streets with very serious charges that will really help to have an impact on lowering violent crime here in Jackson.
Just the history of RICO, I think of the mafiosos and different mobs in the Northeast. Is it a new approach for justice to use RICO to go after street gangs and, I guess, more traditional urban crime outfits?
It's actually not. The RICO statute was created to go after the mafia, but it very much has been used for many years to go after, first off, national gangs, the Bloods, the Crips, the Gangster Disciples, but also local street gangs across the country. And so we're trying with this initiative to bring that kind of experience and expertise from the Department of Justice's organized crime section at Main Justice in D.C. down here to Mississippi to help us build those kinds of cases.
Is there a threshold in which a gang or a violent crime organization has to reach in terms of the money they're pulling in or violence they're causing in which, you know, RICO is triggered or the thought that, hey, we need to bring federal prosecutors in? Just to clarify my question, some of the reporting I've done on gangs in Jackson, people say it's a limited group of individuals. You know, how much money could they really be making in a city like Jackson? Does that threshold exist and are they meeting that?
To prosecute gang members federally, whether you're using RICO or other federal statute, what you really need is a group of individuals that associate together to commit federal crimes. And that doesn't necessarily require a given amount of money or a certain amount of violence. We're very flexible in the use of our federal statutes. And what we intend to do is to go after those violent individuals, whether they're working alone or working together, and prosecute them with whatever federal tools we have. We are focused on going after violent gangs and ending their ability to function successfully in this city.
So a follow-up to what you just said, this program is being expanded to Jackson, so it's been used in other cities. What of those applications in other cities have you seen and has Justice seen that led them to decide this would work well in Jackson?
The initiative has already been functioning in Memphis and in several other cities. They have seen reductions in violent crime since it started in Memphis. They've charged a number of cases up there. And if it can work in Memphis, it can work in Jackson. Building those kinds of cases down here, we think that we can do the same here as in Memphis. And this initiative will help us target those violent individuals and those violent gangs. And I'll add that this initiative is part of a continued effort by the department to bring more and more federal resources to Jackson and other cities like Jackson that experience violent crime issues. Just this week, we announced that the ATF had brought a NIBIN machine here to Jackson for the next several weeks, and that also the Department of Justice has awarded an almost $700,000 grant to Jackson to improve NIBIN and other firearms forensics. This will help law enforcement here match guns and shell casings across multiple crime scenes. So it'll help us find witnesses from murder number one that were also witnesses to shooting number two, and really build those kinds of cases. And that helps with individual crimes, but it also, you know, often things like gangs, they share guns. And so having those additional resources like NIBIN will help us build cases that target those violent individuals. Those are just some examples of the kinds of federal resources we're going to continue bringing to Jackson to try to help our partners down here go after violent crime.
At the risk of overgeneralizing, what is the nature of violent crime and gun crime in Jackson? Is it, you know, gang wars, as some have said in Operation Unified Pressers? Is it more just, you know, young men in neighborhoods settling feuds? Is it things at parties? What's the nature of it?
Violent crime all across America, it's a mix of a lot of different things. And it's obviously a little difficult to point to any number one driver. There's no doubt, though, these days that younger people think that the way to resolve a conflict is with guns instead of with a fist fight or an argument. And social media and conflicts generated by social media only make that worse. And that's a problem nationwide, not just here in Jackson. But here in Jackson, the violent crime is particularly driven by a limited number of individuals and by a limited number of street gangs. And also, there is definitely some national presence, particularly by the Vice Lords and Gangster Disciples here in Jackson. And we think that that kind of presence can be stamped out with initiatives like this. That said, we should recognize that Jackson is definitely making progress. I live in Jackson, and I think it's important that we recognize where Jackson is succeeding and where we still have issues. Violent crime in America definitely began surging early in the pandemic. But there is good news. Nationwide, the murder rate is down 13% that last year. That is the largest drop in 50 years. Jackson is actually above that. We had an almost 15% drop in murders last year in Jackson. We've had 2 years in a row of a drop in violent crime, in murders here in Jackson. And that's good news, and we need to recognize that and celebrate it. That said, Jackson still has the highest per capita murder rate in America. And that's why we're bringing extra tools and extra focus like this from the Department of Justice to go after violent crime in Jackson.
Todd G. is the U.S. District Attorney for the Southern District of Mississippi. Coming up, the war between Israel and Hamas leads to thousands of casualties among civilians. Mississippi's 2nd District Congressman says it risks the longstanding relationship between the U.S. and Israel. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
Mississippi Public Broadcasting's Family Fun Day will be in the Pohl Gymnasium on the campus of Mississippi University for Women in Columbus on Saturday, April 20th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. MPB has partnered with the Mississippi School for Mathematics and Science, MUW, and the Preservation Society of Columbus to host the free event. Come and meet MPB's own Ed Said. The whole family can enjoy music, a health fair, games and activities related to science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. Register at education.mpbonline.org.
Do you look forward to Mondays? You do if you listen to MPB. Deep South Dining is food and Southern culture. Now You're Talking with Marshall Ramsey is compelling stories with interesting people. Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit gives you suggestions to better your life. The phone lines open up at 9 a.m. for you to talk to our experts on MPB Think Radio.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Desiree Frazier. Mississippi's 2nd District Congressman, Democrat Benny Thompson, says recent developments in the war between Israel and Hamas is concerning for the nation's relationship with Israel. It's been 6 months since the conflict began, and there appears to be no sign of a resolution. Ceasefire talks have been going on to try and bring a pause in fighting. Over the weekend, Israel withdrew a significant number of troops from Gaza and allowed in some humanitarian aid. Congressman Thompson spoke with our Mike McEwen last week about the war.
Well, I think Netanyahu is risking the close relationship with the United States and Israel by the current actions. We have historically been a major ally of Israel, but I get on a daily basis now questions from constituents saying this is not going in the right direction, that we need to prepare for humanitarian relief for those individuals living in Gaza, many of the people who are in harm's way, many who have been hurt had nothing to do with it. And so they have promoted, like I historically, a two-state solution. But clearly, the leadership in Israel has taken it in a dark direction. And unless they change courses, I'm afraid that relationship with the United States that they enjoyed will be permanently damaged. And that would be bad. But just to see what's inflicted on those individuals in Gaza is something none of us want.
Is there any, I guess, sentiment in Congress that some of what they might be doing to aid workers and civilians is in violation of U.S. laws and how we provide aid to countries and how we provide arms to countries?
Well, you know, NATO has already looked at it. United Nations is advocating certain humanitarian aid that obviously we vetoed as a country, and we've been the only country that stands in opposition. I think when we get back next week, it will be on the burner. I think if we can't get a resolution to Israeli Palestinian conflict and Ukraine, we'll be in for a difficult time when we get back, because we absolutely have to come to some resolution of both situations. But as the leader of the world, we need to be bringing those groups together to talk about how do we make that happen. And right now, we've not been able to make that happen, and that's bad, and that's why you see things going off the rail. That's why Putin is doing what he's doing to Ukraine. But again, Donald Trump is a buddy of Putin. And so why would you want somebody who's an avowed buddy of someone who's doing to Ukraine and say, oh, you know, we're the best of friends? No, we're not. All the intelligence that I'm exposed to say he's a bad person and that what he's doing to the Ukrainian people is bad. So what we have to do as the world leader, we have to somehow help those individuals like Ukraine on one hand, but in terms of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict that's occurring right now, we have to get them to the table and start talking a solution. But what's happening with the bombing and the killing in Gaza is not going to help that process go forward. It will just make it forever a bigger problem than it's been.
Just one follow-up question on that topic. You mentioned that constituents have been reaching out to you with concerns. Is that new to you in relation to the U.S.-Israeli relationship? I know there's been numerous conflicts since you've been in office, but just in your experience.
Well, it's new now because people are able to see with their own eyes the level of devastation that's occurring, the hospitals that are being bombed. They're seeing that actually cities that are no more. And so what are the people going to do? And at some point, we have to decide that we have to do it a different way. You just can't annihilate a whole population and say you're right. And I think the standards that we as Americans have come to live by, we have to practice it. And what I say about people contacting me in my office or when I'm walking around, this kind of conversation would have never come up had not this level of devastation occurred in Gaza. I think people are very concerned about it. They don't know a lot about the foreign policy, but they just see the devastation that's going on, and they don't see any resistance to the devastation, so they want to know, well, why they keep doing it? You know, why isn't there a better way? And they see people walking around with white flags. They see children scavenging for food. And as the world leader, we have to set the example for other countries to live by. And I look forward to getting back to Washington to continue setting that example.
Coming up, doctors say you need to wear protective glasses when looking at the solar eclipse today, even if it's cloudy. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
Mississippi Antique Showcase is coming to Natchez, Mississippi, Friday, May 3rd and Saturday, May 4th. We'll have professional appraisers on site evaluating antiques, furniture, and treasured keepsakes. For a one-time gift of $100, you'll receive one ticket, complimentary food, cocktails, and a single item appraisal. Call 1-844-874-6874 or go to mpbonline.org to reserve your spot now.
What's happening at the Mississippi Legislature? Tune in each week to At Issue on MPB Think Radio. I'm Michael Guidry. Join us as we take an inside look at the legislative session and get perspectives from both sides of the aisle. At Issue airs on MPB Think Radio every Friday night at 6:30 through the end of the session. And subscribe to the At Issue podcast so you can listen anytime, anywhere. MPB's At Issue. Tune in, Mississippi.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Desiree Frazier. Today is Solar Eclipse Day. That's when the moon passes between the earth and sun, sending parts of the country into total darkness. In Mississippi, there will be a partial solar eclipse, so the skies won't go completely dark. The partial eclipse is expected between 12:30 this afternoon and 3 p.m. Experts say maximum coverage will be somewhere between 140 and 150, depending on what part of the state you live in. A few showers are in the forecast, but even through the clouds, experts say it's still not safe to look directly into the sun. Dr. Kushbo Agrawal is an eye doctor at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. She says wearing ISO-certified solar glasses is the safest way to protect your eyes from permanent damage.
We've gotten a lot of questions about looking at the eclipse, viewing glasses for the eclipse, and side effects of what can happen if we stare at the eclipse without proper glasses. And it's really important to know ahead of time what can happen because it's very preventable. And the eclipse is, you know, it's an amazing thing to see, but really needs to be viewed safely.
So the best way to do this is to use proper viewing glasses that are purchased from a trustable, reliable vendor to view them. One should definitely not view them with the naked eye, whether we're in the, you know, we're in the 80% totality path, but even if you are in the 100% totality path, you should not be looking up at the eclipse with a naked eye. You should not be using any sort of homemade device, magnifiers, telescope, or even just regular sunglasses. That's not enough to filter out the light, which can be damaging to your retina and cause a condition called solar retinopathy, which is damage to the central part of your retina.
Is it long-lasting damage or is it temporary?
It's long. It can be permanent damage. So once you have sunlight, UV light damage to your retina, it damages your photoreceptors, which are cells that allow you to process light and dark. And once that damage happens, it can be permanent and result in a permanent disruption of those cells. And patients will typically see a blurred spot in their central vision. They might have distortion in their central vision, or they might notice if you're particularly looking at like a crescent of the sun being blocked by the moon, then they might have a crescent-shaped spot in their central vision. There's no treatment or technology we have that can reverse that damage.
Does it happen frequently when you have an event like this?
So, yes, unfortunately, throughout history, there have been an uptick of the number of solar retinopathy cases following almost every eclipse that we've had on record. It does happen, unfortunately.
So you said stay away from homemade things that people come up with. What are some homemade things that you've seen or heard people do?
I've heard people make like cardboard glasses. So cardboard glasses with cutouts with some lenses or magnifiers put in the place of them, or pinholes, view holes that they've made with different contraptions. There's been several that I've read about or have seen or have had patients tell me about.
So the best protection, let's go over that again. The best protection is, and where can you find it?
There's glasses designed to view the eclipse safely. You can find them here through your public library. They're offering them. The Mississippi Museum of Natural Science is offering them. And then there are reputable sources like the American Astronomical Society, which is also offering them for purchase.
What makes this an event that people want to see? What's so special about it?
I think it's just one of those, you know, awe-inspiring events of nature that happens so infrequently in our lifetime that makes it such a unique event to experience. And for us living here, it's especially exciting because it's so close to us. We're in the path of 80% totality, but within driving distance, you know, there's 100% totality that we could see with just a few hours away. And the next eclipse event like this, total solar eclipse, is due to happen 20 years from now.
Will you be trying to look at it?
I will be trying to look at it with my children. It's, I think, the first in their lifetime. So I'm hoping to view it as a family, weather permitting.
Is there anything that I didn't ask you that's important about this? Anything that I missed in terms of effects, treatment, whatever?
I think the main thing is that this is a really exciting event to see, but can be dangerous if not viewed properly. So as long as we have the proper protections in place, everybody will be fine, and it'll be very enjoyable and, you know, without any long-lasting effects.
And how long does it take to damage your eyes? If it's just, is it seconds?
So you can have damage from a brief glance at the sun. It doesn't have to be a long-lasting view of the sun to give you damage to your retina.
Dr. Khushbu Agrawal is an ophthalmologist at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. This has been Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.